Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair, 2337th Avenue. And we're speaking with the head coach of the U of S Huskies. That'd be Scott Flory, but it sounds better when I say Canadian Football Hall of Famer, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a little flattering, but I appreciate it, Michael. But yeah, it's an honor to be inducted into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. And I don't think it's really quite sunk in until, and then you start looking at some of the names and the guys that are in there, and it's a pretty humbling experience to be amongst them.
So the next guy that takes over the Huskies program when you're done many, many years from now has to go into the Hall of Fame, because BT, then you, right?
Yeah. I don't know about that, but maybe that's the standard that's being set. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, you said it's just sinking in. I mean, when did you start playing football, first off, Scott?
I was about 10 years old, I think, in Regina Minor Football. So I think it's Pee-wee, and I think you started around 10, 11. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think I was playing for the Rough Riders, actually. It was the team name, and it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. I loved wearing the equipment. I loved going out there. I just loved the game. I loved everything about it. And then it just really fostered and grew from there.
What position did you start playing when you suited up for the Rough Riders back in the day?
I don't think you want to know. Like every kid, I want to be a quarterback.
Right.
And then you end up being the biggest kid, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, you should probably not play quarterback. We're going to put you at offensive line. But I started out playing quarterback, and I loved it. The nuances of the game just kind of a little bit made sense to me, and just understood it, and I had some great coaches when I was young, and I really fostered the love for it, and then it just grew from there.
Okay, Scott Flory joining us, head coach of the U of S Huskies, a longtime Alouette Grey Cup champ and Canadian Football Hall of Famer. He's going to be inducted this year, and we'll get into that whole thing. But, you know, when you're playing offensive line, was there a part early on in your career where you're like, you know, I don't say career, but when you started playing the game, where you're like, oh, man, did I have to be this big? I don't want to be offensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I wasn't, and it's kind of philosophically the way I look at it now and recruit is just athletes. I was always a tall kid. I wasn't ever a big kid. I mean, I graduated high school about 225 pounds when I came out of La Bolda, so I would have not been on any ranking grade anywhere, you know what I mean? I think I was tall. I thought I was pretty athletic, I like to think, and I just, from there, you know, and understanding playing offensive line, and I like the physicality of it. I thought I could move pretty well. You grew with it. So I grew, you know, bigger and stronger with it year over year. And it wasn't a rushed process. It was just how I came out. And I look at it like, to be honest with you, I look at a guy like Evan Johnson, who I had the chance to coach for 3 years and went on to the Ottawa Redblacks. He's the same thing. He came out of high school at about 220, 230 pounds. And then slowly but surely, he got up to about 290, 295. And you know, he's a rookie starting in the CFL. So that's kind of the progression. That's kind of, I guess, the athletic base I look for. But I think a lot of kids are coming out a lot bigger now. But that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you know, it's a changing game for sure. Absolutely. Scott Flory joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast. Who comes to mind when you think about your career? I know you have time to write your speech. The class has just been announced. You won't be officially inducted for a while. But who comes to mind for you? Who pops into your memory?
I mean, honestly, I go all the way back to when I first started playing. This is no joke. I mean, Roger Alday used to come to our practice. I played with Chris. I played with his son. I was a quarterback. Chris was a running back on the team, and he used to come, and I was just in awe of Roger. And then, as I progressed through that into my high school years, Paul Dawson was my head coach in high school, and he did an awesome job. He's an intense guy, and, you know, I get to coach against Paul now and everything. So that's a real pleasure, and he's a really good man. And then moving up, obviously, into university when BT was my head coach and Bart Arnold and Travis Cirque were my offensive line coaches. And then moving into the pros, I was just so lucky to have so many great coaches, from offensive line coach, from Doug Barry to Steve McAdoo, who's offensive coordinator with the Rough Riders, to Pat Meyer, who's down with the LA Chargers right now, to guys like that that were just They're just fantastic. And then obviously under Don Matthews and Mark Trestman. I mean, all those influences and all the guys. And I look at, honestly, Ballsy, when I first came into the CFL, guys like Pierre Virtual, Uzo Okeke, Neil Fort, these guys, you know, they taught me how to be a pro. And that was so important in the whole process. And those guys set the standard. And I just was lucky enough to be there to try to carry that forward through the 2000s.
How about guys or people that aren't on the football field that you know, being a coach or going in this sport as a player, you need a good support system, like at home. Any people like that you want to recognize?
Well, no, absolutely. And I'll probably do that in my speech and start bawling in September when I do it. But I mean, you just look at, I mean, number one is your family structure at home. You know, my parents and then obviously my brothers. I'm a family of four boys and three brothers, and all four of us had a chance to play through the boldest and then up at the University of Saskatchewan. I was fortunate enough to go on beyond that. And we all were fortunate enough to have national championship rings with us. So that's, you know, that was obviously really cool. And then obviously moving on through the university years and then into the pro years is my wife, Natasha, who actually, you know, is the boldest girl herself. And then, you know, we got married and had three kids. So, I mean, that support, you know, you can't. I mean, when you get football season, I mean, really, when you're a professional athlete, it is all football all the time, right? Like, it is. And that's just the way I approach it. I dive in and I to have that, to understand and know that, hey, the home life, that's all taken care of. I just got to go play the game. Yeah. It makes it a lot easier.
Scott, when do they start doing the bust?
Pretty soon, I think. I don't know. I got to do some pictures, and they do a thing, and then they send it to some guy who starts building a lifelike thing. So I'm trying to look and see if I can get a second one so I can have one in my house, and that would really bug my wife for the rest of her life, that's for sure.
Who would have thought a 10-year-old guy from Regina playing for the Rough Riders wanted to be a quarterback as a Hall of Fame offensive lineman? That really is a pinch-me moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's life will take you on a lot of different paths, but it's choices and opportunities, and that's really what it comes down to. And you know, you just never know. You never know. There's a lot of great athletes out there in this world. You just need to make the right choices, and when you get an opportunity, you got to seize it. And that was, to be honest with you, Michael, when I look back, I had an opportunity early in my career. First day of practice, my second year training camp, Mike Pringle ran into the back of Mike Sutherland, who was a starting right guard at the time, and he broke his wrist. And Sudsy was out for 10 weeks, and I was the starting right guard from play two of inside run on Sunday morning, whatever that was, in June of 2000, and I just never let it go.
That's outstanding. What a great story. Okay, speaking of stories, you got quite a story going there passing-wise. The CFL week, which you were a part of, we just talked about, but you're also a part wearing the other hat, being the coach of the Huskies, and your team wins the passing showcase once again for the second straight year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Honestly, I'm really happy with the CFL. They started it last year in Regina and then grew it this year into Winnipeg, and now there's teams vying for it, and you know, maybe it's going to be in Edmonton or Calgary. I don't know what they're going to do with it next year, but it's basically a scale tournament, so a 7-on-8, and it's just kind of you're running without the offensive and defensive line. So you're running your offense against the opponent's defense, and it was a lot of fun. And to be honest with you, Balls, just to be completely honest, I was blessed with the best player, in my opinion. He was the best player at the tournament there in Mason Nias. I mean, the kid's a fantastic talent and fantastic quarterback, and he's going to do some great things for us here in the very, very near future. And he was, in my opinion, obviously a little bit biased, but far and away the best player there. And when you got the best quarterback in a skilly tournament, good things are going to happen.
Well, you don't have to tell me that because I'm friends with the kid, and I talk about him so much, people think I'm his agent. But you know, you look at I'm serious. You look at that kid though, and you say to yourself, you know, 6'2". The kid, or, you know, 6'1.5". The kid's built. He's got about 200 pounds, and he can make every throw. And you played with an Anthony Calvillo. No, I'm not comparing Mason Nias to Anthony Calvillo. But when we talk about Canadians getting a shot in the CFL, I'd love it if somebody would look past the birth certificate and say, this kid can throw the football eventually. You know what I mean? He's got to play at the CIS level. I'm just saying, this kid's got a rocket of an arm, whether he's from Lakewood, Regina, or Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. When there's talent, there's talent. And don't get me wrong, Kyle Siemens, their starting quarterback. He's fantastic. But the biggest thing with Mason that I saw from the first time he took the field at our spring camp a couple years ago was he has elite level awareness and decision making. And the way he sees the football field is honestly second to none. And quarterbacks, it really, in a been around a lot of quarterbacks, and it honestly is a decision-making process and accuracy of delivering the football and seeing the football field. And then you add in the poise and you add in the leadership and you add all those other things. But I'm talking from, you know, when I'm looking at quarterbacks, I'm looking at decision-making and accuracy, and his decisions are on point, and what he sees, and he feels the defenses, and he feels bodies, and he feels a move. And he's a fantastic young man. He's a fantastic young talent.
Well, you got a gamer in Kyle Siemens, who is your offensive MVP, and if I'm not mistaken, threw for the most yards. Like, the kid's a talent, too. So you got a good problem. But it's also a problem. I mean, you got A and B. It would suck to keep one guy on the bench, I guess it's a good problem to have, right?
Well, it is. What I told Mason, I can't recruit a quarterback because nobody wants to come here and play behind him.
Yeah.
So that's problem C. Hey, listen, you know, when you got two really, really good young men and that are really talented at playing football and leading a football team too, because they both really are, it's a good problem to have. So we know, and hey, Kyle knows Mason's nipping at his heels, and we're just blessed. And those are the tough decisions, but those are the good decisions as a coach.
Is that something, though, you look at it now, and that's where you got it in the future, because you got Nyes for three more years after this year, and starting this year with Siemens, you got to get those tools around him. It's great to have a chef, but if he's got he's got limited ingredients, he can only be that kind of chef. When he's got the talent, is that kind of your mindset? You got to find now down the road that talent to fit around him?
No, absolutely. At the end of it, I reflect back on all the championship teams I was a part of, and there's a reason why there's great players on this team. I mean, I look at some of the guys that I play with. I mean, there's five or six guys from Tracy Hamm, Mike Pringle, Anthony Calvillo, Pierre Virchival, Uzumo Keke, man, there's more, Alfred Payton. I mean, all these guys that I had a chance to play with that are in the Hall of Fame, there's a reason for it. So without a doubt, it's, great talent, and then putting the structure in place for the guys and giving them an opportunity to make plays. It does. It comes with talent. But, building a football team, you start at the quarterback. Always start at the quarterback position, especially north of the border.
Well, you know what? We've got to – it can't hurt that this program's run by a Hall of Fame player and now into a second year coaching the team. It's Scott Ford from the U of S Huskies on Growing the Game. Thanks for this, Scott.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. And one guy that's done some work with Mako in the past is Don Narcisse, Ryder, great CFL or Canadian Football Hall of Famer. Don, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing fine, man. Thanks for giving me a call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're buddies, and I love watching you as a youngster, and I'm happy to call you a friend now. First off, before we get to the football camp, Narco, how's the health? I know you were diagnosed with prostate cancer, but they caught it early, so how's it going?
Well, it's going real well. It's just, the process is just a little slow, and I just got to follow the process. It's other procedures that I had to do. I had to do, like, a colonoscopy first. Before I do my radiation treatment, but I'm sitting back, man, just waiting and just being positive. The one thing is that when I put it on Facebook, man, everybody in Canada hit me up. Man, those Ryder fans ain't no joke, man. And I tell you, that really uplifted me, man, and I really appreciate it. But I'm fine. Everything is good with me. I'm just for the process, waiting to see when I'm going to start my radiation.
You're always a positive guy, always big in the community, but did it give you a different perspective on life when you get this health scare, my friend?
Yes, it does, man, and it's so important that, family is always first, man. Your family is going to always be there for you. My sisters and brothers came down here, man, they inspired me, and let me tell you one thing, man, my older brother, he's like 60 years old, and he came up to me. He said, man, Don, when I found out that you had prostate cancer, I was like, I wish that was me, because I would wish it was me, because I would do that for my little brother. And I was like, God, oh, man, that's a strong message right there, man. But family is always first, man. It kind of like really put everything in perspective. But, those Ryder fans, I really appreciate you. I tell you, I got a lot of comments and from this post that I put on there. And once I start going through my treatment and stuff, I'm going to start sending all kind of messages back and stuff. But I really appreciate it. And you can keep it going, man.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know you battled asthma and you were a scrapper and a clawer. You land here at the airport in 87 and you're right on the practice field and you take Michael Elarm's number 80. And all of a sudden, you're a Rough Rider and you got that consecutive games catch streak and you're in the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. So as an athlete and you're getting all these goals, you kind of have that immortality feel about you. This kind of just it, obviously is probably a bloaty. It's like, holy cow, I am human.
Yeah, you know, it really tells you that you are human. You know, a lot of things happen to some people. And you know what I always tell people, you never know what the next person is dealing with or what they're battling with. And it's always good to talk to people and stuff like that. But the one thing that I made sure that I didn't do, and my wife told me, my sister told me to do this: make sure that I let people know what's going on, because I would be able to help a lot of people on different things by just mentioning it, and I would be able to help them out, and they would be able to help me out too. And I'm telling you, man, a whole bunch of people been hitting me up that, hey, Don, I got prostate cancer. This is what's going on. And I tell you, man, it's been a blessing, because I've been real calm about it and know all the procedures that you have to do. And, man, I tell you what, I got a lot of knowledge on it now.
You know, that's an interesting point, Don, because I often wonder when people are, you know, afflicted with a disease like this, if they want to keep it private and don't want to really, tell anybody. I wondered if you wrestled with that, if you were, because there's parts of Don Narcisse, you know, you're out there in the public, but you like to keep things private too. I know you well. So did you wrestle with that at all?
No, not at all. The best thing in the world, man, is that when I put this post out about that I had prostate cancer, I just looked at my post. I had 1,000 likes right now. I got about 900 comments that I'm gonna respond back to. And man, I'm just so blessed, because it's so many people that have been hitting me up saying, "Don, you helped me out. Don, this is what's going on with me." And I'm telling you, man, they got people from Canada. They got these support groups for prostate. They've been hitting me up on Facebook. They send me messages, man. It's unbelievable, man. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Now, if I would have kept it a secret, I think I would have been I wouldn't be in this thing right now. I think I'd be sad and stuff like that. And yeah, so
you can hear the,
I'm glad I did it.
You can hear the joy in your voice for sure. Don Narcisse, Ryder, all time great Canadian Canadian Football Hall of Famer, joining me here in the Growing the Game podcast. Okay, Don, Growing the Game. You've always had this all star football camp, my friend.
Yes,
and you're doing that again. Yeah, you're doing that again.
I'm doing it again. Hey, you never know when it's going to be my last one. I tell you, the kid's going to have a great time. It's May 5th. The kid's going to have an awesome time. I'm going to try to make sure that they get a chance to go to the locker rooms and stuff like that and get a chance to be on this football field for the first time, if this is their first time ever going into the locker room. It's going to be amazing, man. And then after the event, I have something that I'm hosting at Capital GMC from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's going to be called like a T-shirt signing. We're going to sign. I want all the parents to show up with their kids to get their T-shirt signed. I want all the fans to show up to the dealership, and we're just going to have a good time. It's free. We're going to have a lot of auction gifts. We're going a whole bunch of auction gifts, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be shocking, because one of the auction gifts, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, one of the auction gifts, a person will get a chance to come to my house and have dinner with me at my house. They will fly them in. They get a chance to hang out with me for one day. And I tell you, if you show up to Capital GMC May 5th, 6:30, I'm telling you, it's going to be easy for you to win. And I tell you what, you're going to have the time of your life. We're going to have a great time, and I'm just looking forward to having this, man. And I'm bringing my little son with me.
Oh, awesome.
That's going to be the good part about it. My little son coming with me and stuff like that. So he can't wait. He cannot wait to come back to Saskatchewan.
How old is he now?
He's 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, 19 years old.
And he's a football.
Old.
He's a football. He's a football player too, right?
Yeah, he's a football player too. And hey, let me just say this, man. I was in. I had to do a speaking engagement last week. Well, Saturday in Zinnan Park.
Yeah.
With Dave Ridgeway.
Yeah.
Rasevich. Yeah, it was Rasevich. But riding back, me and Dan, we rode back. He was with his wife, and we got stuck on the road for 4 hours. The snow Sunday morning was so much. It was so much snow we couldn't even see driving, and we pulled out on the side of the road. And I'm telling you, man, we was on the road for 4 hours.
Wow, telling stories, I bet, eh?
Oh man, some good stories. And you know what? A Rough Rider fan helped us out. He came over and he asked us a question. And Dave was like, "Nah, man, we okay." I was like, "Man, we might need that help." Dude came over and swiped some of the snow from the wheels and swiped some snow from the other wheel and say, "Hey, back up!" And he got us out. I was like, "Dave, we could have did that." We sat in that car for 4 hours, man.
Yeah. You always got to pack a kit, Don, when you're traveling the highways, my friend.
We didn't have no food. The lady up front, we were following her. She got stuck too. She brought us a candy bar, and it was funny, man. It was so funny. But it's crazy. I'm looking forward to coming back to Saskatchewan Mayfield. It's gonna be exciting. All the kids, I'm telling you, you're going to have a great time. We have that T-shirt signing. We're not going to sign T-shirts at the camp. You got to come to the event at Capital GMC. It is free. And like I said, one of the awesome gifts is going to be a person get a chance to come to my house and have dinner at Don RC's house Danville, Texas.
Narco, where do they get your information on the camp?
All they have to do is go to DonRC'sRStarEvent.com. And register the kids. You know, the age limit is from 7 to 18 years old. It's basically every kid, yeah. And it's not just for boys. It's for girls too. And I do have some young girls that always come to the camp and really kick these boys' butt. So that's what it's all about: having a great time, getting the kids off the sideline, and getting them into the game.
Narco, you're a gem, man. We love you, and thanks for joining us in the Growing the Game podcast. And we'll be praying for you too. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair at 2330 7th Avenue. And I'm joined now by Noah Pickton, Rams quarterback who was at the Combine there in Winnipeg during CFL week. Noah, you tested really well.
Yeah, you know, actually, I might have surprised some other people. I've certainly surprised myself in some of the events. You know, there's a lot of preparation going into this weekend or into last weekend, I guess it would have been. So I'm pleased with how it turned out.
How hard did you train for that in terms of, were you surprised with your 40 time?
Yeah, and, in saying I was surprised, it wasn't that I was working hard. You know, I've been training 6 times a week at 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the morning, so you know the work was there. But I've never ran a 40-yard dash that quickly before. So when I saw that time pop up, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, you were right on par with Brad Sinopoli, who obviously played with Ottawa and now is playing with the big team in Ottawa as a receiver. So that's that kind of turned some heads, I bet.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. You know, I don't know if I have the same athletic overall ability to make plays from the receiver position like he does, but. You know, to have that time, I guess I'm kind of on par with him when he was coming out of college.
You're not a guy. I've always thought you've got great pocket presence. You know how to get away from the rush and use your feet when you have to. But it's not something that we're used to seeing. So maybe it sneaks up on all of us because we're not used to Noah Pickton being a runner.
Yeah, not often in a game am I running 40 yards in a straight line downfield. It's usually a few zigzags, avoiding some people, and then maybe dumping it off to a receiver downfield. But, you know, very rarely I'm running anything like that.
How did you find the actual throwing part of the combine for you?
You know, it was good. I thought I got better as the session went on, which I was pleased with. You know, starting off with the individual drills, whether it's some nerves or whatnot, just getting used to the football. It was maybe not as sharp as I would have liked to, but I think by the time one-on-ones came around, I was spinning it pretty good, so I was happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised if you did have nerves. Last year you were here just kind of as an arm at the CFL week. There wasn't really no pressure on you. Did you kind of feel a little bit of nerves and pressure at the start? Because, hey, this is my time to shine.
I think so, a little bit naturally. You know, there's a lot of anticipation and excitement for it, and with that comes some, like we said, some nerves. So to kind of be out there and realize that, you know, all the eyes are on you. Last year I was just kind of extra arm, giving a look to some other receivers or whatever, but this year was a little bit different. I had to participate in the whole weekend and go through the interviews and whatnot, and then to be on the field, you realize that the scouts and front office people that they're watching you and seeing how you perform and evaluating you to maybe pick you up or sign you come the draft.
How did you find the interview process?
It was fun. You know, it was neat to sit down in a room with some of those guys, you know, like Paul Lapolice or Ken Austin, some great football minds, just to kind of see how or really just talk football with them and schemes and whatnot. So just kind of pick their brain for as little time as we had. But you realize that, you know, these guys are obviously the best of the best. It was a pretty cool experience for me.
They put you in any scenarios and ask you to draw plays or how you'd act in a certain situation?
Yeah, Hamilton had me up on the board, kind of going through some schemes that we run at the U of R and just kind of talking about where our reads are and which coverages, where are we going, and Winnipeg was just kind of verbalizing the same type of thing. So, yeah, it was fun to talk football with those guys.
Did you have anybody to talk to before you went into this? Anybody you kind of, you know, you bent their ear? Like, what do they expect? Did you kind of gear up that way for the interview process?
The guy I talked to a little bit briefly was Mueller, Mark Mueller.
Yeah.
He obviously went through the process as a quarterback, but now he's a coach with Calgary, so he's had questions asked him when he went through it, and he now asks questions as a coach to the player. So he's kind of seen both sides and just getting a little bit of information from him. He definitely helped me out.
Any strange or funny questions you were asked?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing too crazy. You definitely hear some horror stories, whether it's from the NFL interviews or even CFL interviews in the past, but no one really grilled me or asked me anything too outside of the box, which was nice, actually.
The elephant in the room, obviously, is your height. If you're 6'2", people might be talking about you differently. You are what you are in terms of your height. Did you get a sense of how scouts or coaches were viewing you that way?
You know, I didn't really get a feel. To be honest with you, I don't even know how they thought that I performed. And my head wasn't really there from the get-go. I wasn't too concerned of whether they thought I was too small or whatever, if I could play or not. I just wanted to go out there and perform and do a good job. So I felt that I did that. They have their opinions. You know, I don't need every team to believe in me. I just need somebody to believe in me. And one opportunity is all you really need to get to that next level. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for.
That's a good way to look at it. And, you know, I'm a small guy, so I'm not cutting you down. Don't take it that way. But do you get tired of the questions? I mean, I know Doug Williams, the famous question at Super Bowl week when he was the Redskins quarterback, somebody asked him, how does it feel to be a black quarterback? I don't know. This is who I am. I'm a quarterback. Same with you. You know, how does it feel to be a short quarterback? Well, this is my body. I'm used to it, right? Do you get tired of those questions?
You know, people always have to ask, so sometimes you think of new ways to answer them just to kind of keep yourself entertained, or other times you feel like you're reading off the script, but you understand that they're always going to ask it, but it's kind of fun that, you know, when they have their doubts, you can kind of keep surprising people, and that's a pretty good feeling when, you know, you have that sense that they may doubt you, and then you get out on a football field, and you can turn some heads and really flip the script on them. So that's kind of always a little bit of joy that I get from that aspect.
Well, you got a resume, you're Heck Crichton Trophy winner. You obviously have excelled on the football field, but you're a very smart guy in the classroom. So professional football is a dream. It's not a plan. I tell my son that too. It's a dream. It's not a plan. But are you more hopeful after this combine week? I know we talk about your height. The other thing that works against you, unfortunately, is your birth certificate. But are you more hopeful after this week?
I think absolutely. Naturally, just kind of being involved in that environment, it gets you kind of looking to the future and thinking that, hey, you know, I was invited to this combine. You know, some teams may believe in me. I have the opportunity to possibly go play. So it definitely gets the gears going in your head of certain possibilities that one day you could be playing in the CFL. So you get your hopes up. But like you mentioned before, I take my school very seriously. Also, like you mentioned before, football doesn't last forever, so I want to make sure I have a good plan for after that life. And, you know, I think I'm going in a good direction right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess at the very least, it primes the pump for the Rams season, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It gets you excited to get back out there. So I obviously have one more year left of eligibility with the Rams, so I'm going to be playing football either way next fall, and that's a pretty good feeling to go to bed at night with.
You know, I hope it's not, because I'm really rooting for you, but this really could be your last year of competitive football on the field. Has that sunk in yet for you?
Not really. To be honest, I've been going about my training like I have every other year, you know, day by day, just kind of taking it one step at a time. So, and even next season when it gets closer, I'm just going to go week to week and try to win football games. I'm sure it'll finally hit me after this season is over, hopefully in late November. But yeah. I'm trying not to think about it or whatever, because I'm just kind of taking it day by day and trying to become a better football player each day.
And we're happy we get to see him for one more here in Ram colors, and who knows, hopefully many years beyond that. Thanks for this, Noah. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I appreciate it.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by our good friends at Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair at 2330 7th Avenue. Go check out Alan and Joe and the gang over there doing great work in the auto body and auto painting industry. Doing a great job at the PFC level in junior football as the head coach of the Regina Thunder, Scott McCauley. Scott, how are you?
Doing really good today.
Awesome.
I came up and there's a lot of football in the air, so it's perfect.
Yeah, spring is around the corner, and I know you guys have had a lot of indoor workouts. Soon you'll be outdoor chucking the rock around and doing that type of stuff. You've got a cool initiative coming up with the RMF that you wanted to promote, which is going to be a good little fundraiser for your team, but more importantly, good to give back to the community and the young aspiring football players. Tell us about it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Regina Thunder, we've always wanted to do our own little football camp, and you know, there's so much going on with Football Saskatchewan between the U16, U17, U18, the Spring League, and you got Southside Selects, and the Rams have their high school camp as well as the teams in Saskatoon. So, you know, we've been kind of like looking to see what we could probably add to the mix. We don't want to really compete, and we don't want to take away. We want to add to it. And, you know, just looking at my own house, I saw both my kids, and they're going, you know what? You don't have any football camps to go to. Until later in the summer there. So we decided to start the RMF Junior Thunder Football Camp presented by Gear Up with Johnny Ryan. And we're going to be get going here the second last week in May. And we're going to run six camps where guys are going to be able to do one position on offense and one position on defense. And they'll get three sessions at both sides.
All right, and you're going to have all the information up at your website and on your Facebook page, and they'll know how to register and how much it's going to cost and everything like that. Right, Scott?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Go to reginathunder.ca, or you can even just go to the Regina Minor Football website. That's where you're going to register. It's a real partnership between us and them, and hopefully we're going to get the word out, and we're going to get a lot of kids involved and an opportunity for them to improve on their skills and for us to get to know the kids in the community a little bit better.
Yeah, you know what? It's great to, and I think this football team needs some promotion, and you guys need to self-promote, and they've got a great guy like you that's been involved in the media before with media relations and now a head coach, so that's a perfect marriage there with you being a head coach and kind of a PR guy too, so that's good, and I'm sure that camp will take off. And, you know, this football program, the likes of, you know, Zach Evans and Chris Getzlaff, who just retired, and Waldo and Dan Clark, I mean, you really need to promote the fact that, you know what, if you don't go to university down the line, this is a good avenue for you to even continue your career after post-secondary.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a bunch of different avenues you could take. You could come to us and play the full 5 years and have an opportunity to go straight into the CFL. Like, we have a very strong relationship with these Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and especially with Chris Jones, and he wants us, you know, keeping top talent in Saskatchewan. And guys that play for us, their rights automatically belong to the Riders. And, you know, over the years, we've had a bunch of players practicing with them. And, you know, as guys get bigger and stronger and you get a guy like Zach Evans, they can make that quick jump right to the next level. You even look like a guy like Stu Ford, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of our guys, they can come play with us for 2 or 3 years. They're going to get an idea if they're going to be able to make that jump right away. And if not, then it's also an opportunity for them to go to U Sports at that time. So a lot of different avenues guys can take.
Two more quick questions for Scott McCauley, head coach of the Regina Thunder. First one pertains to your off-season workouts. You've been doing a lot of them indoors in Moose Jaw. How have they gone? And now you're going to be moving out outdoors soon. Tell us about your off-season stuff here.
You know, we've had four indoor camps in Moose Jaw. The numbers are just, you know, slightly under 200 there, and we kind of kept on going through them and letting guys know exactly where they fit in the team. And now we have about 125 guys coming to our spring camp, which is actually being sponsored by O&T Farms. So we're lucky to have Tim, a former Thunder junior player, supporting us with that. But the camps went great. A lot of solid talent And it's been a really great opportunity for our coaches because on defense, you know, we have a little bit of a new staff there, and they've had an opportunity to gel together now, and we're expecting good things here as we move outside.
That's outstanding. And lastly, April the 27th, we got Justin and Greg from the Justin and Greg Show emceeing your event, your dinner, sportsman dinner. Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner, is going to be there with a keynote address. And we've got the likes of Nick Lewis. We've got Brandon Bridge and Jerome Messam going to be in a fireside chat with yours truly. So that'll be a nice night of football and friends and a chance to get together, break some bread and talk some football, tell some jokes and raise some money for a great cause, your football team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bryn Mawr always does a fantastic job leading that community to have a great night. And I know last year the lights all of a sudden went dark in the room, and all of a sudden they're flashing and banging, and there's a guy playing Thunderstruck on the drum set there, and we had you emceeing and then doing all the side chats or the fireside chats last year. So it's an exciting night. They do a great job bringing a lot of hype and, more importantly, giving an opportunity for people to learn a little bit more about the Regina Thunder.
Yeah, for sure. And so that goes out. Where is that being held this year? I should know because I'm doing the fireside chat. Is it at the Delta again, or where is it this year?
It's at the Delta. I'll pick you up on the way, and we'll have a great night.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. I could have a couple of wobbly pops. I like that. All right. Scott McCauley, head coach of the Regina Thunder. Thanks for this, my friend.
You betcha, man. I really appreciate everything you're doing to grow the game of football in Saskatchewan.
And the Growing the Game podcast rolls right along, and we're joined now by John Spencen out in Melville, the president of Melville Minor Football. How do we find you today, John?
Oh, it's great. The snow's melting, and we're getting closer to spring football every day, so it's looking good.
I've interviewed a couple of guys in this podcast, and that's the sentiment they're echoing as well, my friend. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Melville Minor Football. How long have you guys been in operation?
We've been out here since 07, trying to offer football opportunities for kids in the springtime. It's kind of off season, but when I started, I was kind of a one-man band and couldn't do it all in the fall. So we basically decided to run a spring program, and that gave us access to some senior players. And we started with a peewee program of 75 kids, and we've grown into now offering kids Adam age right up to midget, and this year for the first time an exclusive female program as well.
We'll talk about the female program in a minute. So how many kids are you up to now? You started at 75. What are you up to now, not including the females?
We've got about 25 in each division. We play nine-man football, so we're looking at roughly, just doing quick math in my head, we're probably up to about 125 kids.
That's cool. And you're not a one-man band anymore? You got some volunteers helping you out too?
We've had a lot of former players from the high school program, which I've coached here as well for the last 27 years, come back and help me. And without their help, I mean, you know, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're doing right now just because I'm run too thin. I do have my finger in each of the programs, but a lot of the coaches are taking it on and doing it themselves, and so that leaves me free to do some of the logistical, administrative type stuff.
John, what do you love about football? Why is this a passion for you?
Well, I went to high school at Tom Collegiate, and back in the 80s, and of course, you know, coached by the great Alex Smith, and my brothers went through the program, and from a, I guess from a high school perspective, and even through the years of the Regina Minor programs, my brothers went through that. I didn't have that opportunity, but my brothers did, and they loved it. And sports is something that's been a part of our family, and all of a sudden, I end up at Tom Collegiate, and you know, I wasn't the greatest athlete, but you know, being coached by some of the greatest guys around at that time, and Alex is still going strong with the Thunder, as you know, and so just, you know, having a great group of guys that I played with in high school, and some of the guys I still work with, and so it's been a labor of love for me since I always loved sports, but I ended up with football out here in Melville, and guy took a chance on me. He needed coaches, and here we are 27 years later, and the rest is history, I guess, as they say.
John Svensson joining us here from Melville Minor Football. I think I might have to cut this interview short. You're a Tom Trojan. I'm an O'Neill Titan. I don't think we can get along anymore.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that, but yeah, we did big ride down the Argyle Street, that's for sure.
I'll talk slower to you, okay?
Okay.
John, what do you love about the game of football? How do you try to present it to the kids and the parents? Because, you know, there's been talk about concussion and injury and all that type of stuff and legitimate concerns. But what do you like best about football? What would, if you know, this is your podcast billboard. Sell me on the game of football. What does John Svensson like about it?
Well, it's a game like no other. It requires teamwork. It requires a lot of different skills that you can move on with in life and go towards a job and go towards school and all the things that we teach are kind of life skills. And the team concept, I guess, is the biggest factor because you have to work as a team if you want to succeed. And so, you know, we always say that you cease to be an individual when you sign on the dotted line. You're now a football player on a football team. So you're accountable to those around you, not just yourself.
John, so does this football program, Melville Minor Football, kind of act as a source of pride for the community? Do you find that?
Well, you know, it was kind of it's kind of had its ebb and flows. Like originally, like we had only a peewee program with 75 kids, and I'm thinking this is unreal. And then the novelty kind of wears off at times, and we're still trying to offer, you know, programs for as many kids as we can because we feel it's very important for them to be a part of something. And lots of kids don't have the opportunity, so the community has really backed us. They've, you know, we've had help from the Kinsmen in getting uniforms. We've had help from other organizations getting our score clock up. We're in the process right now of a light project for doing some night games. We've seen the revitalization of many programs in our area just because parents are able to come and watch their kids play now at night. When it's a 4 o'clock high school game, they can't get there. So we're right in the middle of things, and we've had lots of people come out of the woodwork and help us over the years, you know, as far as sponsorship or donating their services or whatever. So, you know, we've had a lot of alumni come through that are in various trades and various sectors of the workforce, and we've had nothing but support from those folks.
And I know you had Olivier Eddy from the Regina Riot out there to help you with a clinic or whatever a few weeks ago. So you want to take the next step and make a female program. Do you have enough interest? Tell us about that.
Well, we've kind of come at this because of a couple of reasons. I had the good fortune the last couple of years to work with Team Sask at the national program in 2016, and then last year with the national team at the Worlds in Langley, BC. And just looking at female football, we've had female players over the years, but very, very, very few, you know, less than 1% if we were actually to count, you know, as many kids as have gone through the program. And, you know, there's a lot of good athletes. And I'm looking at some of the girls that have gone through and kind of done it a roundabout way. And I just don't think that's quite right. I think the girls should have as many opportunities as the boys if they want to play football. So we're giving them a chance to start it and try it. And we've got about 25 to 28 girls interested right now. We're getting inquiries almost daily as to our program. We're actually going up to Yorkton to do a recruiting trip here in a couple days because we're trying to get the word out there. The school division's really helped promote this as well, giving information to every school in the Good Spirit School Division. So the word's getting out there, and I guess because the weather's starting to turn, everybody's looking for something to do. Hockey's done, figure skating's going to be done, dance is going to wrap up pretty soon, so they're looking for other things to do.
John, so if, what age group are we looking at for girls? And if they want to get on board, how do they get a hold of you?
It's right now we're offering from grade 7 to grade 12. So it's more or less a junior high to senior high school program.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jason Shen, I heard the podcast the other week when you had him on. We're going to work together to try and match up girls like we have throughout the the spring football season for the last several years. They've been involved with us with the co-ed program, let's put it that way, because they've had a few girls on their teams, and so have we. And so we're gonna offer it to grade 7 to 12. If folks want to get a hold of me, they can email me, jsvenson, S-V-E-N-S-O-N, at sastel.net, or they can call me at 306-728-3062.
This is called Growing the Game, and this guy right here, Mr. Svenson, is doing exactly that in Melville, and that's why he's on this podcast, and that's why we're going to follow what they're doing out in Melville. Thanks for this, my friend.
Right on, Michael. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.